Okay, I want to thank each and every of you for calling in. Lulu Saras Hashua Azavarati Ba'ani. David HaMelech reminds us that in a time of upheaval, the capacity to carve out time to focus on learning and to put our minds deeply into learning, it's a very powerful tool in our arsenal on so many levels. So I'm excited each and every one of you is joining tonight to put aside a half hour, 35 minutes, Bli Neder, to work on a sugya together. I put up my makomos in advance. I'm not harboring any assumptions that we all had loads of time and headspace to work be in. If you had the chance to, kol hakavod. If you had the chance to, hope you'll find the shiur satisfying. And it'd definitely be geared as well to be satisfying for those who are coming with a mind for learning and be looking fresh at these makaros as we take a look. I'm looking forward to your feedback, whether to me or to Jonathan, whatever is most comfortable in terms of going forward. But ideally, if there's interest, would love to move forward as we get closer to Pesach, hopefully with more opportunities on Monday evenings to work on selected sugyas and Maseches Pesach. I want to open tonight with the opening of the Masechta. There are different places in Shas Mishnayos where you have sections of Mishnayos that are organized chronologically. There's a parak in Bikurim that goes through the process of bringing Bikurim from farm to Mizbeach, the section in Sota that goes through that process. Much of Maseches Yuma takes you through the Seder Avot of Yom Kippurim. All of Maseches Pesachim is fundamentally organized in a chronological fashion. From the night of Erev Pesach through the night of the Seder itself in the last parak. And so the first Mishnah opens chronologically with a timeline, with a byline. Orel Arba Asar, the night of the 14th, the night of Erev Pesach, the Mishnah tells us, Bod Kines HaChametz L'Ar Hanem. Maseches Pesachim opens with the first din, the din of the later prakim will get to halachas of the morning of Erev Pesach, like Bir Chametz, the afternoon of Erev Pesach, including halachas of Karban Pesach. And as we said, the last parak will finally arrive at Leil HaSeder. That's why Erev Pesachim is built largely around the halachas of the Seder, the Arba Kos, and Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, and so forth. Opening din is Orel Arba Asar, Baruch Nechametz L'Araner. The night of Erev Pesach, we have a requirement to do B'dikas Chametz. And the Mishnah immediately answers several important questions. The question of when is there a din of B'dikas Chametz? It's Orel Arba Asar, the night of the 14th. How you go about it is the methodology is L'Ar HaNer. You have to have a good light source. And the third topic the Mishnah tells you, third detailed question is where? Or a question of scope. I have to be bodek my house. Those areas where chametz may have been brought. I never bring chametz into the bathroom. I never bring chametz into the laundry room. No chiyav bedikas chametz. And so the Mishnahs get into sort of little working out from the outset. What are the parameters of what exactly the how and the where and the when of bedikas chametz? The big question the Mishnah does not ask. The big question when you have a din d'oraisa is what's the makor and psukim. The big question when you have a din d'rabbanan is your first logical question is why were Chazal masakin this din d'rabbanan? Why is there a need for b'dikas chametz? And Rashi gives what at first appears to be the simple, straightforward, logical answer. Let's take a look here. I shared the screen, so if you have a Gemara Pesachim, you can open to Beis Zaman Aleph. If you're following the screen, you can take a look here. Rashi says, Bodkin, on the second line, Shal Yavra Lav Bar Rav Matze. You do B'dikas Chametz in order not to violate. The Rabbanan is there to protect the Daraisa. We have a Lav Daraisa of Bal Yiro, Bal Yimatze. That's actually a series of different psukim. One place where the psukim say, Lo Yeira'eh, another place where the Torah says, Lo Yimatze, but together, they form the Isur Daraisa, the Lav Daraisa against owning Chametz. I cannot own Chametz, I cannot have it in my possession. So Rashi says, the reason why you search your house for Chametz, the search and destroy protocol, is in order to make sure that you're not going to own chametz. I have a house full of chametz. All your long chametz is mutter and kosher. My house is full of chametz. The Torah tells me over the course of Pesach, I'm not allowed to own chametz. So Chazal said, you better make sure to spend time the night before Pesach searching your house so that you will ensure that you don't chalila violate ownership of chametz over the course of Pesach. Seems simple. It seems straightforward. But Tosis points out that, yes, the opening Tosis right across on the left side of the Amud, and Pirush HaKuntres, Dir Maschal Orlar Ba'asar, Pirush HaKuntres Shalol Lavar Olav Ba'arol Ba'imatzeh. Rashi says the reason, the why question, which again the Mishnah didn't ask, the answer to the why question for B'dikas Chametz, Rashi says, is to avoid a violation by Ba'arol Ba'imatzeh. Now Tosis points out, though, that if you put two Gemaras together, you quickly see that this is not so simple. There's a Gemara that Tosis does, that whoever put the Mar Makom Tosis put in, that's Vavam and Beis. And the other line, which they didn't put in, the new Gemara's avid, is Daf Dalet. Let's first take a look at a quick peek at Daf Dalet. If you have a Gemara in front of you, you can turn right now. You can bring the screen share to Daf Dalet and Beis as well. The Gemara is talking halfway down Daf Dalet and Beis. The Gemara is talking about some of the ins and outs, the details of implementation of B'dikas Chametz. What do you do if you have a specific? What do you do if you have a space that was you're not sure whether someone else already handled B'dikas Chametz or not? Someone tells me, "Don't worry, B'dika was done here. You don't have to worry about it." Do I have the right to believe that person or not? The sugya, without getting too involved in the details of the sugya, the Gemara points out that the standards of ne'manus, who I can believe, the standards of halachic standards of reliability are somewhat relaxed on a drabbanan. The standards of who's ne'man were more strict in terms of who's ne'man on a daraisa, were more makel in terms of who's ne'man on a drabbanan. So what's the story of B'dika's chametz? Someone tells me, don't worry, you don't have to, you need not do B'dika in the living room. The living room was taken care of already. So, well, what sort of ne'manus do I need? Does that person need so that I can believe him? So here the Gemara says a couple lines before the two dots. The Gemara says, B'dika's chametz is only drabanan. B'dika's chametz is drabanan who? D'mida oraisa bibitol ba'alma sagile. And therefore, hemnu rabanan b'drabanan. The Gemara says that for someone to believe that B'dika was done in a room, you only need the weaker, laxer standards of drabanan, because min ha-Torah, there's no need to do B'dika's chametz. Why is there no need to do B'dika's chametz? So the Gemara says, well, because min ha-Torah have another option. I can, instead of doing B'dika and physically destroying the chametz, I could just do a verbal bittul. I'll do a verbal bittul. And mida oraisa bebittul ba'alma sagi. There you see it, black on white, on dalam and beis. So Tosus says, that's interesting. Min ha-Torah, all I need to do is bittul. I don't need B'dika at all. Okay. Now the Chiddush Ran points out, okay, so it sounds like I have two options. I could either get rid of my chametz physically, B'dika and Bi'ur, or I can get rid of my chametz verbally. Apparently that's also a way to solve the problem of owning chametz. Now that itself is a little bit of a mystery. If the Torah says, I'm by Rabbi Matzah, not allowed to own chametz, so how does that work? That even though my house is full of chametz, I own chametz, I know I own chametz, somebody's going to do a bittul anyway, that's going to magically make the chametz not belong to me? Good question. As an aside, Tosis here on Daf Dalet already tells us, not everyone agrees, but Tosis thinks that bittul is a form of hefker. Okay, so I understand. I've waved a magic halachic wand, and I made it hefker. The chametz is in my house, but it's not mine. Okay. So, however you understand it, I have two options. I could do bittul, or I could do b'dika and beer. Okay. So we start to wonder, okay, so maybe I have two options. So why are the chametz telling me specifically to do b'dika? And it gets worse, because when you turn to vavam beis, the Gemara says near the bottom, at the two dots, Avavam Beis, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, if you're on the share screen, you can just see where the cursor is. If you have an actual Gemara, find the two dots yourself. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Habodek Tzarek Shivato. Rav Yehuda quotes Rav, even though I did a bedikah, the Mishnah says you got to do a bedikah's chametz. That's a din in the Mishnah. So that I'm going to follow the din of Mishnah. But Rav said that's not sufficient. After bedikah, you still have to say kol chamira as well. Okay, so I have two gemaras so far. Number one, Dav Dalad, bittel bi almasagi. Bittel alone works min haTorah. Once I do bittel, the need for bedikah is not a drop bottom. And then in Dav Vav, I discover even if I did bedikah, I still need to do bittel. Take a look now. Let's go back to Daf Beis because Tosa says, "Well, let's put the pieces together." The Kashalari back in Tosa's Beis Amalf again. The Mishnah tells me a din of Bedikas Hametz. A din Drabban Bedikas Hametz. The Mishnah gives me some of the operational details: how you do it, when you do it, with what you do it, where you do it. But the question of why is left to Rishonim to discuss. Rashi says, why are we doing Bedikas Chametz? Why are Chazal Masakim Bedikas Chametz? To avoid owning Chametz. So Ri says, that sounds very simple, but it's actually not. The Kasha L'Ri, top of Tosis. Kevin Zitzarech Bittel. Kida'amer B'gemar V'habot Zitzarech Shivatel. Everyone has to do Bittel. There's no such thing as just doing Bedikah. Everyone has to do Bittel. That's what the Gemara said. Even though you're going to do Bedikah, you're still going to have to do Bittel as well. So you're going to do both anyhow. And now he quotes from the Gemara in Daf Dalam Beis. Umidaraisa bittel al-masagi. And min haTorah, bittel alone is enough. That was the Gemara in Daf Dalam. So I don't get it. Everyone's doing bittel. You're doing bittel anyways. And min haTorah, bittel suffices to get rid of the problem of by Rabbi Matzeh. So then what's accomplished by doing bedikah? Rashi said bedikah is there to solve the problem of by Rabbi Matzeh. Well, so is bittel. We're doing both. So number one, it just seems redundant. Why am I doing? Why have two solutions to one problem? One is enough, and not only is it redundant, I don't need both. If I have a choice between an easy 10-second verbal bittel versus a very labor-intensive bedikas chametz, and let's just put it in our terminology, bedikas chametz means cleaning for Pesach. Right? You know, the Ramah, until a couple hundred years ago, Jews' homes were pretty small. I had very little furniture in them, and that's why the Ramah, to us it seems, it gives us a chuckle. You open a Shulchan Aruch, Ramah says, you know, there's a minig tov, that the afternoon before Bedikas Chametz, in the afternoon of Yud Gimel Nisan, spend a little time sweeping the floors, and that way it'll, you know, it'll make the Bedikas go more smoothly. And that was the extent of the cleaning for Pesach. Of course, Shulchan Aruch is very full of a lot of details about kashering for Pesach, because back in the old days they had smaller homes, which were easier to clean, and they also didn't have a second set, Pesach set of anything. Almost everything got koshered. So the lead-up work, even in a normal year, was not so much cleaning, but plenty of koshering. But anyhow, that's really what the question is here. Why would Chazal say, clean your house for Pesach? Do bedikas chametz, search and destroy, actually physically destroy all the chametz. Bittel would work as well. And not only bittel would work as well, we're requiring everyone to do bittel. So everyone's doing bittel anyhow. So what's the point of bedikah? And even if I had a choice, why would I choose a physically time-intensive, labor-intensive bedikah and beer if I could simply do bittel? So Tosa says there's obviously more to this than meets the eye. It cannot be the purpose of bedikah to solve the problem by Rabbi Matzeh. Just to be clear, as several we've shown him do make explicit, of course it's true that if you search for chametz and destroy it, you will have solved the problem of by Rabbi Matzeh. If you got rid of all your chametz, then you are not going to be in violation of owning chametz. But that cannot be the only purpose served by Bedikah. Because if the only purpose served by Bedikah is get rid of chametz, we have a solution for that. It's easier, it's simpler, everyone does it anyways, it's bittul. That's what Tosa says. It must be that something else is being accomplished as well by this dry button of bedikah that bittel wouldn't accomplish. Menir Lari, the last white line, Afagav desagve bittel bi'alma. It's true that min haTorah I could solve my problem of owning chametz by merely doing bittel, but hechemiru chachamim levdok chametz ulevar. But Chazal still imposed a requirement to physically search and destroy the chametz. Why? Because to protect, Tosa says, the purpose of bedikah is not to protect the lav daraisa of owning chametz by Rabbi Matzeh. The purpose of bedikah uniquely is to protect a different lav daraisa, namely not to eat chametz. Because if I have a house that's full of chametz, yes, I did a bittul. So I technically, I don't own any of the chametz. But my house is full of chametz. So very nice, you did a bittul. Technically, you don't own it, but you are likely to eat it. There's chametz all over your house. Shalom, yavol achol. And they point out, so first they have and Tosis begins by supporting himself. Points out Gemara and Daf Yud. Gemara asks a question. We don't have our time frame, I think, doesn't allow us to see the Gemara inside, but Kedai to take a look afterwards. The Gemara has a series of shilas. Boy Rava, kikar b'shmei korah. Rava says, what do you do if you have a loaf of bread on the rafters? Think back to your camp days when there were rafters going across the top of the bunk, right? And sometimes people climbed up there for a little quiet or to hide things. So let's say it's Pesach time, Pesach is coming, and you notice that there's a loaf of bread, or maybe something a little more exciting. Some exciting chametz is up there in the rafters. So am I mechuyev to go up and get it or not? And Rava has a series of shayos. I have chametz all the way up in the rafters, chametz down in a deep pit. Do I have to go bring the ladder and climb up or climb down to retrieve the chametz? And what it revolves around, the Gemara doesn't always explain the lundus behind an ibaya, but that Gemara in Daf Yud is one of the cases where Gemara does. What the Gemara explains is the question is, look, on the one hand, for instance, the case of the rafters, the chametz is going to stay there. If I don't go to get it, it's just going to stay there. Ozimnin, the Gemara says, on the other hand, maybe not. It looks stable. Looks like it's a stable equilibrium, but zimnin the nuffle. Every once in a while, something falls. And what's going to happen if it falls down? The Gemara says, v'asila mechle. Rava says, maybe it'll fall down, and you'll come to eat it. So you see, says Tosis, the driving concern of Bedikas Chametz is Asila Mechle. And that's the question. When we're trying to figure out what's the scope of the Chiyuv Bedikas Chametz, does Bedika and Bir even extend to the Chametz that's on top of the rafters? So the Chametz is down the pit. The question is, how likely am I to end up eating it? So it says, oh, there you go. The reason for Bedika, by Rabbi Matze, could have been covered sufficiently, adequately by Bittul. But only physical destruction, physical removal, will solve the problem of Shema Yavo La'achlo. Of course, then, with the point we're up to, Tosis, in classic Tosis style, I think we sometimes assume that Tosis always asks his questions. Rashi does, he has implicit questions, but Tosis always Vimtom Ve'Shlomar. The truth is, if you learn Tosis with open eyes, there are a fair number of Vimtom Ve'Shlomars. There are a lot of times when Tosis tells you what his question is. There are also a lot of times when Tosis does not tell you what his question is. And he'll just sort of start talking, and you're supposed to notice this subtle question. Here's an example. And the reason why we're machmir more by them by other Yisuri levaram over others, by other Yisuri Hanah, that they mean the Chacham, did not require beer. And that's really obviously an implied question. Tosis is pointing out a logical flaw in their approach. Rashi had said the reason for Bedikas Chametz is what? To avoid a problem by Rabbi Matze. The Tosis had punched some logical holes in that. But on the other hand, see, the strength of Rashi is that Bedikas Chametz is not a common mitzvah drabanan. Where else do you have a din of Bedika? No din of Bedikas Orla, Bedikas Kloya Kerem, Bedikas Basar B'chalav, or Bedikas Chazir. It isn't normally a din that I'm required to remove forbidden items from my house. It's pretty rare. You find it by Avodah Zarah. That's on the level of Daraisa. As a matter of fact, the Rav suggested, Rav Shechter made many, many years ago, my first year in YU, we learned Maseches Pesachim, and Rav Shechter pointed out at the beginning of the year that the Rav suggested that the din Darabana of Bedikas Chametz might be patterned after the din Daraisa of being Mechapes Avodah Zarah. Sarach L'Sharash Acharet. Okay. But other than chametz and avodah zarah, you'll be hard pressed to find a din of bedika. So why is chametz unique? So for Rashi, I understand it's rare to find something where there's an issur d'oraisa against owning it. Okay, so chametz is issur to own minat Torah. So there's a din drabanan of bedika. But Tosis said, well, doesn't it make more logical sense to say that chametz, that bedika is there to protect me from eating it? Good point. Such a good point that it should have popped up another 25 times. There are lots of other things I can't eat either. And even if you can limit to Isuri Hana, as Tosis does here, there are many other Isuri Hana as well. Chametz is not the only Isuri Hana. So why don't you have a din of Bedikas Basar B'chalav? Basar B'chalav is also Asur B'hana. The Tosfos gives two answers. I want to focus on the second one. The first one is psychological. The second one, as we'll see, is halachic. Tosfos says, number one, why is chametz unique? Answer number one, mishum de chametz mutar kol hashana, v'lo nesa rak bepesach, v'lo bedili mine. The difference between chametz and everything else is that chametz is not usher all year long. 51 weeks a year, or 47 weeks a year, whatever it is, chametz is kosher. I'm allowed to have cookies and cake and crackers right now. Maybe good for the diet, bad for the diet, but it's not a violation of a law of deraisa. All of a sudden, Pesach comes, and I'm supposed to switch my habits. As we have all been discovering, switching routine is incredibly tough. And when there's no Department of Health telling me I can't eat chametz, in a moment of weakness, I could easily forget. Lo bedili mine. Lo dami, it's unlike basu b'chal v'n'orla kla'akerim. Bedili is m'lashin havdala. I don't have a natural psychological aversion to chametz. A religious Jew has trained himself. I just, basu b'chal is chazer treif. Chazer is chazer treif. Orla kla'akerim. Those are things I just don't eat. It's a red line. But chametz, all year long, I'm used to eating it. Kosher chametz, I eat. So 1 week a year, all of a sudden, I have to flip that switch. Lo bedili mine. I don't have a natural aversion to it. And therefore, from a psychological perspective, chametz is a more risk. Keeping chametz in the house is a more risky situation than keeping kolaya karam in the house. So that's answer number one. If as Tosis posits, Bedikas chametz is a din drabanan to help me avoid achila. Why does chametz need protection more than any other iser? And the answer is, psychologically speaking, chametz is more risky. Psychologically speaking, it's mutar kol hashana lo bedili mine. So that's why chametz needs more protection. We're more likely to slip. Okay, there's more complexity. There's a lot more nuance going on in this teretz as well. You see, we showed the Marsha picks it apart, the Ritva picks it apart. But in the time that we have, I want to spend a couple minutes focused on Tosfos's second answer, and maybe even leave you with some food for thought in terms of how you might defend Rashi as well. First, let's take a look at Tosfos's second answer. Again, Tosfos is trying to defend themselves. If as Tosfos suggests, Bedikas Chametz is there to prevent Achila, why is Chametz the only one that's getting, only Isser that's getting this protection? Answer number one was, Chametz is psychologically different. Lo bedili mine. And then let's read answer number two. Answer number two, we got to read slowly and carefully. In Ami, shiny Chametz, Yoha Chametz is different, Hechemira Bota. And remember, Tosa trying to explain, why is Chametz different? Lashita Sam, the Bedika is all about Achila. Let's read Tosfos' teretz. Inami shiny chametz shechemira bo Torah laver by Rabbi Matzah. Well, chametz is different because the Torah was machmir. There's a din of by Rabbi Matzah in chametz. Zechmir chachamim livdok lavaro feichet bitlo. So because of the iser by Rabbi Matzah, Chazal introduced the din of bedika, even though he did bitl. Huh? You understand that? That's strange. Seems like. If you stop and think, say, well, 1 second. Tosfos is backtracking. They're retrogressing. They just went over to Rashi. It wasn't the whole point here to defend Tosfos. Rashi said Bidik was all about by Rabbi Matzah. Tosfos said, no. Bibitul Ba'amasagi, no. Bidik is all about Achila. Aye, why only Achila's Chametz? So answer number one, okay, Achila's Chametz is more risky, more likely because of Bidil Mine. Answer number two, well, Chametz is different because of by Rabbi Matzah. That's Rashi. That's not Tosfos. It seems almost as though like they sort of slap on at the end. Dilma asel mechle. Oh, like they remember almost as like they're remembering at the end. Oh yeah, we have to throw in the Shem Yovel Achlo. What's going on? It seems almost as though Tosfos, are they talking out of both two sides of their mouths? They say, well, Chametz is different because they have by Rabbi Matze. So that's why you have to do Bedika Shem Dilma asel mechle. Make up your mind. What are you saying? What's up, Shah? A strange line in Tosfos. Let that sink in for a moment. Remember, Tosfos' whole goal here is to defend their shita that Bedikah is about Achila. So what are they doing going back to Rashi that's about by Rabbi Matzah? Now, the truth is, if you were to just read Tosis very slowly and carefully, we could already get the answer. But it becomes clearer when we take a brief peek at a super famous Ran right here on this Amud. Beginning of Psachim, Ran is on, let's bring it up. The Ran is, Ran Makamas that I shared had a snippet of the Ran. So let's just share that on the screen. So feel free to look. If you have a physical Gemara, you can open up to Aleph Amud Aleph Badape Rif, the very first Amud of the Rif. Is near the bottom, Dumas Ulma, or else in the screen share, I put up the PDF of the Makoros. I put out, for those who totally optionally, there were two PDFs. One was the Daf Makoros, that was this, that was a table of contents to guide your learning, Makoros and guiding questions. And here were the actual sources where a lot of the Marmal comments are hard to get your hands on. So here at the top, here's this Ran. And this Ran was made even more famous by Rav Yosef Engel, and we'll see why in a moment, over the next 3-4 minutes. Long, long Ran. Very, very beautiful. You have to have time and patience to go through the Ran and Alpha and Alpha and Psachim. But he goes through very methodically, very thoroughly, a host of questions. It's almost like a Prima Gunnim style, an introduction to Bedikas Chametz. He goes through this question and that question. Very, very beautiful. You have to have time to go through. Very, very beautiful. Near the end, you see already the next piece is L'Or HaNer. He's already going on to the pieces of the Mishnah. The very end of his essay, his opening essay, his preface from Bedikas Chametz, he did Maschul Uma. So he raises the question of Rashi. Tosas, Mashi Tzricha Chacham Bedika. Why did Chazal mandate Bedika by Chametz more than anything else? V'lo Samchu Abitl, what was wrong with Bitl? See, he goes on to give a defense of Rashi. Kedei l'kayem mitzvos tashbisu. Okay. I don't want to get into that now, but maybe Rashi, or along the lines of Rashi, that it's not just a question of the Isser of by Rabbi Matzeh, but there's a mitzvah say of tashbisu. Okay. But now let's come back to Tosis, because the Ran is also going to help us make sense of this difficult line in Tosis. Imata omer shechoshishu shlo yavo l'achla, if you're going to say that the driving concern of the rationale for Bedikah is to avoid subsequent achila, ukedivrei harishonim zal, as the Rishonim said. We look at the Ran as a Rishon, but of course he didn't look at himself as a Rishon, but he was thinking about Tosis as Rishonim. If you say as Rashi, as Tosis, ohainu time the chashu beitfei misharisum. Here's why there were more machmer. He says, well, first he gives Tosa's first answer, Chamas lo bedili in shemine. Okay, he also throws in a point that Tosa doesn't make. Chametz is halachically more chamer because it has kares. Okay. And then he turns to a second answer. The Efsher Od, shemipnei, well, actually, I shouldn't say a second answer. Let's see what else he says. Mipnei tam zeh hechmira ha-Torah bo laver al b'rab rabbi matzeh. You know, Chametz is more concerning than other Isurim. That's why Chazal imposed the Din Rabban of Bedika, which they did not do for other Isurim. And maybe for this reason, the Torah was more machmer bo on it. What's it? Chametz. Lavar lavar bar rabbi matzah. Because Chametz is more risky, the Ran says, maybe that's why the Torah imposed an Isser by Rabbi Matzeh, which it did not do for other Isserim. There's no Isser against owning Basar B'chol. No Isser against owning Klei HaKerem. I can't eat it. I can't benefit from it. But no Isser against owning it. I can, if it's not Asr B'hana, I can go ahead and buy a treif of beef or pork to feed to my cat. Nothing wrong with that. Certainly nothing wrong with owning it. Do you realize what the Ran just said? A very innocent-looking line. Rabbi Yosef Engel points out the Ran just dropped a bombshell. Because if you run the logic in reverse, what the Ran just told us is the reason why the Torah, Din D'oraisa, you're not allowed to own chametz. Why you're not allowed to own chametz? so that you won't come to eat the chametz. That's what the Ran just told us. That the Issa Daraisa of owning chametz is a gezeira, a siyag, to protect the other Issa Daraisa of eating chametz. The Ran is even explaining, so taking Tosa's question next level, well, why didn't the Torah impose this siyag daraisa, this gzeira daraisa, on all sorts of machalos asuras? Why am I allowed to own any other trefa food, but I cannot own min haTorah, cannot own chametz? Oh, because chametz is more risk, there's more of a risk I'll come to eat chametz. Therefore, the Torah itself imposed a siyag daraisa, a gzeira daraisa. The Ran just told us that the issa daraisa by Rabbi Matzeh is a siyag to protect the other issa daraisa of eating chametz. And Yosef Engel has a beautiful essay in Sefer Lakachtov where he says, essentially, you know, some people think that gzeiras are only midrabanan. There's no such thing as a din daraisa which serves as a gzeira. He says, well, that's just absurd, and let me prove it to you. Look at the following 17 or so examples. And he lists a whole slew of dinim daraisa, which are gzeiras to other dinim daraisa. And as a matter of fact, in this Maamar Makomos page, I gave you several. Tosefesh Rashi and Shulta Geborim say that Tosefesh Shabbos might be daraisa. Start Shabbos early to avoid going into Shabbos. Kir of Basar, commonly referred to as Nagia, Archakos in general, those Archakos which are daraisa, are to protect, to avoid the actual act of Gilui Arayos. Here there's a Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Tumas Meis. Yosef Engel dug that up, who says the Issa Daraisa against cooking Basar B'chalav says you won't come to eat Basar B'chalav. A beautiful Rambam. We don't have time to read it, but very, very poetic and a lot of both halachic and hashkafic nuance and Musar as well. If you have the time, the closing Rambam in Sefer Karbanos, the very end of Hilchos Me'ila, in general, the closing Rambam, the closing lines of every single Sefer. It's kedai to just spend some time going through those. He talks about how Temura and Tosefes Chomesh are Siyagim Daraisa. Very fascinating. But near the top of the list of Siyagim Daraisa is Bali Ra, Bali Matze. It's a Ran, Yosef Engel says. The Ran says it. He says it subtly, but clearly. The Issa Daraisa against owning chametz is a Siyag against to protect us from eating chametz. So much of the Rani Vatix was bothered. Why isn't there a siyag daraisa similarly by other isurim? How come I'm allowed to own other machalos asuris? And the answer the Ran says is, well, the same as what you'll say about b'dikas chametz. For some reason, chametz is more dangerous. Chametz is more risky. And now Rabosa, so that's really a fascinating Ran in its own right. And this whole notion of siyag daraisa, and this is not the only example, but certainly high on the list. And now, in the moments remaining, let's come back to Tosos. That second teretz of Tosos. Again, Rashi and Tosos had a machlokas. Why is there a din of b'dikas chametz? The Mishnah said that there is. The Mishnah gave me some operational details, the how and the when and the where. We show them are discussing the why. Rashi had said, why b'dikas chametz? Shlo yavra rabbi matzeh. Tosis says, no. Bittel alone could handle by rabbi matzeh, but you need b'dika to make sure you don't come to eat the chametz. If you do bittel, but your house is full of chametz, shkoyach, I haven't violated owning it, but what's going to be, I'm probably going to end up eating it. So you better actually physically get it out of the house. Okay. So why is this more of a concern for chametz than for anything else? So the first answer of Tosis was, as we saw before, straightforward. Chametz is more risky. Lo bedili mine. Okay, it's asur ba'hanah, it's halachic chumra, plus psychologically, lo bedili mine. And what's the second answer? Inam. Now let's read that once again. Inami says Tosis, shiny chav, the second explanation why chametz is different, and chametz is more of a lightning rod for a dindra banan bedika, Shiny chametz shechemira bo Torah laver by Rabbi Matzeh. The Torah was more machmir to impose the issur daraisa by Rabbi Matzeh. Therefore, hechemiru chachamim livdok lavara fil hecha debitlo. Since the same way the Torah is more machmir and imposed by Rabbi Matzeh, the chachamim are more machmir and impose yet another siyag, namely bedika, Why do you have both of these? Mishum Dilma Asi Lemechle. Tosis, the truth is, once you see the Ran, Tosis wasn't saying Bedika is there to protect by Rabbi Matze. What Tosis is saying is both by Rabbi Matze and Bedika are there to protect you from eating it. And Tosis is taking the Ran a step further. Tosis is saying not only is by Rabbi Matze a siyag doraisa, hechemira Torah. The Torah said don't own it so that you don't come to eat it. But the Tosis adds a whole new twist. Tosis says, and if I see that this, look, most areas of halacha don't have siyagim daraisa. Gzeres Rabbanon you find all over. Gzeres daraisa, siyagim daraisa, they're not so common. We listed off a number of examples, but, you know, parts of Merubah HaOmed, most areas of halacha don't have siyagim daraisa. Tosis says, when you see a siyag daraisa, that's going to be a lightning rod that's going to tell Chazal, this is an area that needs more siyagin, so you better make even more drabbanans than usual. So since if the Chazal saw that even the level of daraisa, Kadosh Baruch Hu is already imposing siyagin daraisa in the area of Chametz and Pesach, Shema Yavol Achlo, by Rabbi Matzei, siyag daraisa, then we better have siyagin rod like Bedika. Just as you have an Issa daraisa, a siyag daraisa by Rabbi Matzei, by Chametz, but not by other Yisurim, you're going to have a dindra ban and bedika by Chametz, but not by other Yisurim. All of that is Kadesh Shal Yavol Acho. And, if you stop to think about it, several of the areas we listed before as having siyag daraisa, namely Shabbos, Chametz and Pesach, Bas B'Chalav, and Nida, are areas that have many more drabanans than most other areas of halacha, and also, I would add, many more minhagim than most other areas of drabanan. I think it's all rooted in the logic that Tosis is second teretz. As a matter of fact, I think it's obvious for us and also it's in the Maamar Kamos, but Tosis is saying, Mamish lahalacha. Chazal saw this area has siyag d'oraisa, that means you should have more siyag d'rabanan than you would normally have. I think that's the pshat Tosis is against. Now we take a step back. Tosis is saying, yes, Bedika is b'shem yavol achlo. Why chametz has bedika? You don't have bedika. Other things either. I can just explain practically. I can understand why chametz is more risky and therefore needs more protection. Or it might say we're not sure why, but we see that the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already in HaTorah, blanketing chametz, buffering chametz with siyag and raisa. So clearly, it needs more siyag and drabanan as well. And then, so I hope you appreciate both the lumdus and the careful, nuanced reading and plugging the Ran back in and this whole concept of siyag d'oraisa. And let me leave you with a teaser. I think next time, if there's interest in doing this again, we'll go on to a different sugya, maybe on Daf Gimel. But a teaser to think about. Yeah, Glenn. Sure. I mean, if I come to eat it, then I will have undone my bittel, and I'll even have violated by Rabbi Matze. That's very interesting. Yeah, that may be true. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at Habodech Tzoru Shevatel, the Gemara Davav, if you continue the Gemara, the Gemara say, well, why do you need to do bittel? You did bedika. So the Gemara talks about, well, maybe you're going to find something delicious and eat it. Shemim Siglus Kiyafa. So clearly there is some interplay there. Let me just take what you said and sort of push it, or one thread of what you said and push it in a different direction, because we showed him we have several different ways of thinking about how to defend Rashi. Ben David takes one approach. Ben Noach, on the bottom of the Frankel Rambam, makes the following suggestion. It's just sort of, or at least something to think about. It's hard to imagine that you could do bittel for everything. Bittel ba'al masagi sounds like the Gemara Dav Daf sounds like this, do bittel. And it all disappears. Is that, like, can that be? Mamash min haTorah had a house full of chametz. As long as you remember not to eat it, you did bittel, you have a house full of chametz all Pesach long. So if you say like Tosfos, I mentioned there's a second machlokes Rashi Tosfos and Daf Daleh Beis, what is bittel? If you say Tosfos that's hefker, okay, you're mafker it. If it's a real hefker, then it seems a little strange. But look, it's not my chametz. It's like the non-Jew's chametz. It's no one's owner's chametz. It happens to be in my cabinet. Okay. Rashi though says it has to do with ka'afra. So Rabbeinu Manoach develops the idea that look, because the missionary points out you don't hear about bittul that often over the course of this mesechta. You expect to hear about it a lot more frequently. Rabbeinu Manoach points out is you only hear about chametz a bittul either if you don't know about the chametz or you do know about it, but somehow it's inaccessible. It's either too far away or it's just like physically inaccessible. Rabbeinu Manoach says is you only have bittul on that chametz that doesn't easily lend itself to beer. If I can't be I forgot about it, or it's too far away, or I can't reach it, or something like that. For some reason, I'm incapable of doing beer. So then, it's meaningful to say that's bita ka'afra. I really have no interest in chametz. As far as I'm concerned, it's garbage. I'd be glad to get rid of it, but I can't. But if it's right here, so then your actions belie your words. Well, it's ka'afra. How can you keep it in the cabinets? So if you take that approach, or something along those lines, that bittul works, along the lines of what Glenn is saying, but with a different twist, bittul doesn't always work. So if it's true that the bittul ba'al masagi on some types of chametz, so, for instance, the Gemara in Daf Dalet said, I don't see any chametz. Because do I have to do a bedika? Do I have to do a bedika? Do I have to do a bedika? I don't see the chametz. So, as far as I know, there's no chametz here. He told me there's no chametz here. Okay, so then, minat Torah, do bittul. But bittul doesn't work on everything. And particularly if I find the chametz, going back to what Glenn said, if I find the chametz, even before I eat it, if I find the chametz, I'm not willing to get rid of it. Well, that's a problem of Rabbi Matzah. But again, something to mull over further. But Tosis's kasha on Rashi is premised on the assumption that when the Gemara in Daf Dalet says but bittul b'al masagi, it means all chametz yields to bittul, which may fit with Tosis's approach that bittul is hefker. So at least in theory, I keep mafker anything. And then any chametz I'm after, it's not mine, nor Rabbi Matze. But once you say like Rashi, that bittul isn't hefker, bittul is, you can take a look at Rashi and Tavda, bittul is something else, so like a designation that I don't hold to this chametz. It's ka'afra. Well, that's a more limited type of tool. Now it's only going to work on some types of chametz. Okay, but bittul ba'amasa again, some types of chametz. Other types of chametz, bittul doesn't work. So once you say that, that punches a hole in the logic of Tosis's kasha and Rashi. Yes, I have to do bittul, and yes, bittul works to midaraisa for some types of chametz. For everything else, to paraphrase Yed, you know, bittul works on some types of chametz. For everything else, there's bedika and biur. Now, this is a taste of the richness of the opening machlokas Rashi and Tosis. There's much more to say by the sugya. I want to thank you so much for joining, whether by video, by audio, and I'm grateful to Glenn for having the merits to speak up and open his mouth. And Ritzim, we should have more Dibuk Chaverim. Let me know, or let Jonathan know if that's more comfortable, if there's interest in continuing this format. If there is, I'm more than glad. There's a gorgeous sugya in Daf Gimel, Amud Beis, a very mysterious Gemara about the Turkish car, the Turk who ate Karban Pesach. The Gimel Beis, a host of kashas that Tosis raises, a beautiful Minchas Chinuch, a lot to dive into. If it's interesting continuing, perhaps we'll take a look at that, or maybe some of the sugyas in Arvei Pesach, and some of the more Lamasa sugyas of Sefer Tzvi Yosef Mitzrayim and Haseba and Arbakosas. There's a tremendous richness going on. Rabbosai, thank you so much. Have a productive night, a productive and safe night.